Well, you've defined the media in a book specifically published by Monthly Review Press called The Problem of the Media. What is the problem that you see?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you say that, the first response most people have, and certainly the first response I would have had, is the problem with the media is if it's lousy content, that bias in the shows, they don't cover something, or crummy movies and lousy music, that's the problem. So if you have good media content, no problem. You know, that's the conventional way, taking the system for a given and then just evaluating the content that the system produces. In fact, what I mean by the problem of the media is much the way a mathematician talks about a problem, that you know, you have a set of something you have to solve. Every society faces what I call the problem of the media, how you organize your resources and structures to produce information and content that people exist on and need as humans in a social environment to govern their lives. Every society faces this problem. It's unavoidable, particularly as societies become more complex and become larger, more impersonal. The role and importance of media grows proportionally. And so the problem of the media is something as a scholar, as a social scientist, as a historian, you can look at and study how different societies solve this problem, how they approach it and deal with it. And I think if we look at media that way, it takes on a very different cast, a very different glow, than if we look at it just sort of accepting the existing institutions as natural, something we inherited, like a mountain range. And then I think it also points us in a very different direction for what we can do about media if we're dissatisfied with what currently exists.
You talk about the inadequacy of journalism, kind of the drive-by journalism, which is partly a function of this kind of shrinking of the newsroom and maximizing the bottom line.
Well, journalism is a complex phenomenon, and it doesn't lend itself to soundbite analysis, and it's part of the problem our debate about journalism hasn't gone to where it ought to go given the data we have and what we can see going on around us, is that people try to put it into a one-sentence summary, and then you can say, well, there's a hole in the second half of that sentence, so therefore I'm going to dismiss what you're saying. The crisis in journalism today has to be understood in the context of how we got to the high point of journalism. We have to have a crisis preceding this crisis. And what I mean by this is that the notion of professional, neutral journalism, nonpartisan journalism, is a relatively recent phenomenon in the United States. I think a lot of Americans think this is something that Jefferson and Franklin and the founders of the country had in mind. First Amendment meant thou shalt have objective journalism. In fact, for the first 120 years of the Republic, we had stridently partisan journalism. I mean, stridently partisan, far more than even like the Fox News Channel sort of stuff you see today. And it was explicit. If you picked up a newspaper, you didn't have to wait to the editorial page to know what the views were. You knew instantly from the top half of the first page what they were coming from. And in the 1890s, if a paper is a Republican newspaper, it might not even cover a Democratic candidate for president during the entire election. I think nothing of it. It would only report on the Republican and vice versa. That wasn't uncommon at all. And so how do we get, the real first important question is how do we get from that to what's called objective or neutral or professional journalism? And once we get to that, then we can go to what the crisis is. And I think then you can think of what the solutions are. But you need really a holistic view. And I think the great crisis in American journalism for that partisan system worked pretty well in the 19th century. And the reason it worked well was that there was a broad range of partisan views. So if you lived in a community, you had, you know, a community like St. Louis, where we are right now, in the mid-19th century, probably had 15 daily newspapers, a pretty wide range of viewpoints. And if you didn't like any of the 15, you didn't have to be a millionaire to start the 16th. The costs were low enough that there could be, it was a competitive market. New viewpoints could come into play. Other viewpoints could go out of business. Advertising played a small role, so you had a situation where you didn't have to satisfy 80% of the market to survive or 60%. A newspaper that had 5% of the readers could make a profit and survive, which meant it was I don't want to romanticize it, but in certain core respects, a stridently partisan system worked fairly well at sort of engaging and encouraging public life. The problem came with that style of journalism. The core problem came as market pressures emerged and companies rationally wanted to get bigger and bigger. There were fewer and fewer newspapers. Advertising accentuated that process and really forced us down to a situation where in most towns in America by the end of the 19th century, you only had a couple of newspapers in most towns, except the very largest cities, the New Yorks and Philadelphias. And suddenly, you had a couple of newspapers, or even one in most towns in America, and the economics became such that it became impossible to start a new newspaper. There was what economists call barriers to entry. And there hasn't been a new daily newspaper started in a mature market in this country since World War I. It's been almost 100 years. I mean, you simply can't start one. It's impossible in an existing market. And when that happened, this whole partisan thing began to smell like month-old fish out in the docks. Because, you know, it's one thing to have stridently partisan journalism in 15 daily newspapers. If you don't like it, you can start the 16th pretty easily to get in and get your viewpoint in play. It's another thing to have stridently partisan journalism. We have one newspaper time, you can't start the second one. Then it sort of looks like sort of media expecting an authoritarian society or dictatorship. And this was this great crisis in journalism in the first decade of the 20th century in the United States, under the 19th century in the first decade or two. And this was the spawning ground of the notion of professional journalism, of neutral, objective journalism. And to condense a lot of history into just a few sentences, more or less what happened was the owners of our major media, including Pulitzer here from St. Louis, the owners and publishers said, okay, what we have to do is no longer have explicit political control of the news. We have to cede that if we want to keep our system going so we can make the money off the system. So we have to create a journalism where there will be what they call the Chinese wall between church and state, where the editors and reporters would be neutral and independent from the owners who would make all the money and run it, and so the readers would trust the content they would see in the news of their newspapers, and it wouldn't matter the political views of the owners. That was the theory behind professional journalism. Now, and if you think about the logic of it then, it didn't matter if you had one newspaper in a town or 10 newspapers in town, because professional journalism come up with the same story no matter what. If they were true professionals, they'd go out and find the objective truth. So it was a way to distract people from the consolidation that had taken place and to reduce its importance in understanding the nature of news content. Instead of looking at the owner, you looked at the journalist to see if they were meeting the so-called professional code.